Put that work away. It's time to head home and into a sports weekend with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. The Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. That's where you fire away with questions, comments, or suggestions. And we do have our winner of our Ribfest 4-pack. It's always nice when we've got things that we can give away to reward our listeners that are tuned in. And on this beautiful Friday, many of them probably have taken out of work a little bit early, snuck out to take advantage of this beautiful Friday afternoon. But do we have our winner? Is it Josh?
Josh from Fort Wayne.
Josh from Fort Wayne. Glad to have you on board listening this afternoon. If you didn't win, we've got a special surprise coming up for you. I don't know if we can announce it. I think we can announce it, can't we? What we've got coming up next week, starting on Wednesday? Yeah, let's go ahead and announce it. You know, it's always better to, what is that, beg forgiveness than ask permission. So let's tell you what's happening here on the Sports Rush next Wednesday. And every Wednesday, we've got White Sox Wednesdays. That means starting next week, be sure to tune in for your chance to win a 4-pack. I mean, you know, some places could probably mess with measly little 2-packs of tickets. Nah, 4-pack of White Sox tickets. And you can win every Wednesday by tuning into the Sports Rush between 4 and 6. White Sox Wednesday, starting next Wednesday, right here on the Sports Rush. I don't know if we've got to do anything special for the White Sox tickets, like some kind of White Sox trivia, or if we're just going to, you know, go to the old radio cliche of caller number 9 is a winner right now. You always laugh when it's funny because you got me saying now that I'm using a radio voice every time I say caller number 9, like, you know, hey, caller number 9, you're a winner. Give us a call right now and you could be a winner on Hits 94.99 or whatever it is. I feel like the old disc jockey days when I was doing top 40 back in the 80s.
Puke and Duke in the morning.
Just to feel young again. Anyway, 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. What's on your mind on this Friday? What are you looking forward to from this sports weekend? Fired up for the Comets. They play tonight. Big game. Comets will take on Wichita. I think whoever wins tonight is going to win this series. And it's not just, yeah, I mean, it's easy to say when it's a 5-game series or best of 5 and you've got game 3. But I think that this game sets the tone for what to expect of Coliseum ice. I think the Comets need to come out, be physical. They need to avoid penalties. They can't allow the transition game of Wichita, and a lot of that is on the forwards to get back defensively and take away that third man on the rush. I just feel like the Comets are a better team, but they need to play better than they did in game 2. And, you know, the other thing that's always important when you get to the playoffs, Dylan Ferguson has to be the man. When you've got a goalie that you're riding through the playoffs, he's got to play well. And so a lot is on Dylan Ferguson, who'll be in the nets again tonight for the Comets. But I think also let's put some pressure on the goal scorers. The guys like Vive and Jenks, Petrozelli and Wah. Let's put a little pressure on them to come through and start lighting the lamp. But, you know, we saw Anthony Nellis do it to help carry the Comets to a win in game 1. So the series all even tonight, game 3. 8:05 out at the Coliseum. Shane Alberani has the call on our sister station, WoWo, 1190 AM and 107.5 FM. Also, we had a chance to talk about this yesterday, and to clarify, it has not been formally approved yet, but it is going, it does look like it's going to get there. The college football 12-team playoff. And it's probably to many long overdue. I know there were thoughts that 8 is a good number. There were some that said, let's open it up to 16. I think 12 is the perfect number. I think 4 teams deserve a bye, and they would be traditionally the 4 teams usually in the college football playoff, except the little caveat that they put into this, Caleb, that the 4 teams that are going to get the top 4 seeds and get a bye are the top 4 ranked conference champions. Notre Dame, interestingly enough, is not in a conference, which means Notre Dame would have no possible way of getting one of those byes. and being one of the top four seeds. Now, Jack Swarbrick is actually on the committee that put this plan together, and he fully supports it. And he says the reason is that Notre Dame will get their bye because they're not playing in a conference championship game. Here's the thing I think. And I know, okay, that's all fine and dandy and it makes sense. But still, seeding does matter who you have to play, how highly seeded those teams are. And so the higher seed you could get, because all I'm thinking is, what happens the first time Notre Dame goes 13-0? And, you know, what if they're ranked number one in the country?
Well,
what if?
I'm actually reading about this exact scenario. So
what if they go 13-0, number one in the country, but they don't play a championship game, so they don't qualify for one of those top four spots. The best they can get is 5?
Yeah. Well, it'd be 12-0 because the conference championship game, which they don't play,
okay,
is
so,
the 13.
So the best they can do is go 12-0.
They would be 5. However, I think, again, yes, that is stupid, but here's where I think it benefits Notre Dame. They get a home game in December in South Bend.
But wouldn't they get a home game? If they're the top four, you don't get the home game. So the home games are only that 5-12 round. Once you get through the 5-12 round, then everything goes to neutral sites. Is that what you're saying?
That is where I am confused on all this.
I could see that the final four are going to be played at neutral sites.
Yeah,
just not sure when you get to the final eight, are those also going to be at neutral sites? And I'm not sure if those are going to be considered, quote, bowl games or if they would be separate from the bowls. But here's an idea, Caleb, because I always come up with ideas to solve everybody's problems. All you have to do is ask. I've got the solution to what they need to do with this college football playoff regarding Notre Dame. I think they should put a little asterisk in there and say, if Notre Dame would be one of the top four teams in the country and during the regular season has a win over one of the conference champions that would also be in the top four, then Notre Dame would be able to be seated in the top four lines. Now, it isn't always going to happen because Notre Dame's schedule isn't always going to put somebody perfectly into place. But at least there would be some loophole that if Notre Dame finishes in the top four and at some point during the regular season, they defeated a conference champion. Because remember, they could play Wisconsin, for instance. Okay? And let's say they beat Wisconsin. It doesn't count on Wisconsin's Big Ten record. And it may count very little on Wisconsin's overall ranking because both teams could be very highly ranked by the time you get to the end of the season, right? So what if they beat Wisconsin and then Wisconsin runs the table of the Big Ten, wins the Big Ten championship, and Wisconsin comes in fourth as one of the top conference champion teams? In that case, since Notre Dame had a head-to-head win over a team that won their conference and finished in the top four, Notre Dame would take a top four spot. In this case, if Wisconsin was at number four, Notre Dame would actually be taking their spot. But just that little asterisk, that caveat, would solve all the issues of the what-ifs for Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame could still be undefeated, not play a conference champion, and they would still end up fifth. But at least there would be that hope for any Notre Dame fan that if things fall into place and that Notre Dame has proved itself, here's the problem. If you do that, Caleb, you eliminate the debate on how that team got into the Final Four and Notre Dame didn't when Notre Dame beat them head-to-head. Because I can see that coming. If that situation happened, tell me that wouldn't be the topic of discussion for days on end, that Notre Dame got left out of the top four, but they've got a win over at least one of the teams that made the top four. And so I think that would be the little asterisk you could add that would make everything come out just fine.
I think where this benefits Notre Dame a lot, besides just hosting the home game, also if they go to this proposed system, which is under consideration, it's not official. If they go to this, that means that Notre Dame, look, they lose two games in the regular season. There's still a strong chance they're going to finish in the top 12.
Yes. And certainly, you know, that gives them a chance. But the thing that I'm thinking is if they're number five and the best they can be is five, that's kind of a tough spot to be. I mean, yeah, you get the game against the 12 in the first round, but then you've got a 5 versus 4. Then you have to play a number one if you get to a semifinal. Well, now we know how that goes. I'm just saying all you have to do is add that one little thing that if in the event Notre Dame has a win during a season, which they would be one of the top four teams, over a conference champion that would have a top four spot, Notre Dame would be one of the top four teams. And it doesn't mean they would replace the team that they beat. They would just move in, and whoever came out as number four among those four conference champions would then drop to number five. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Bold statement, Brooklyn will not lose again. I think Brooklyn's going to bounce back. That was a tough loss for Brooklyn last night. I don't think he got the best out of Durant or Kyrie, and I think we're going to see James Harden back on the floor. I think they just were resting James Harden, figuring we're not going to put him out there until we absolutely need him. Now it's a 2-1 series with a chance to be tied up by Milwaukee. I think Harden plays, and I think that puts Milwaukee basically out of this series. So I think Brooklyn bounces back after the loss last night. And I also don't think that Chris Middleton goes off for 35 points again. I mean, Milwaukee won last night, but they only scored 86 points. They're not getting the points they're going to need against a Brooklyn defense that for some reason, somehow, has actually shown up in the playoffs. We did not think this was a good Brooklyn defensive team, and yet they've all of a sudden in the playoffs started to play pretty decent defense. I also don't think Joe Harris goes 1 for 11 again. He's one of the best pure shooters in the NBA. He had a 1 for 11 night last night. Durant was just 11 of 28. The Nets ended up going 8 for 32 from 3, just 25%. I just think the numbers from last night aren't going to play themselves out in even another game. And for that reason, I think Brooklyn's going to end up winning the next two games, taking this series 4-1. That's my bold statement. I can make it on a Friday because by Monday, most of you will have forgotten I said it. And on Monday, if it doesn't come true, I can absolutely deny it. If it does come true, I'll probably replay it and remind you. But I make my boldest statements on Fridays because that way everybody goes out, has a little fun, parties on the weekend, and by Monday, they can't remember what I said on Friday. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We are going to talk to somebody about the Comets who has a pretty good inside track as to what to expect from this team this weekend. It is Comets General Manager David Franke. He's going to join us when we return. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We are back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch sitting in the producer's chair. Big night in Fort Wayne. I tell you what, if you're a Fort Wayne sports fan or if you're just a sports fan in general, buy one, pick one, Coliseum or Parkview Field. I know I probably should be biased at this particular point in the show. I should probably say go to the Comet game. Make sure you cheer on the Comets because it's the playoffs for the Comets and they need your support and they've got tickets that are available. But I just want to see Fort Wayne out supporting sports, period. And hopefully you can make it out to the Coliseum if you'd like to cheer on the Orange and Black and to talk about that series with Wichita. We are joined on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline by Comets General Manager David Franke, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you very much.
And, boy, it seems like it's been ages since the Comets have been on Sweetwater Ice out at the Memorial Coliseum. It's got to be a good feeling to know the boys are back.
Yeah, it's. I think it was May 23rd was our last home game or whatever, right around there. So, you know, we've been on the road. You know, the team's been traveling a lot. We started out in Salt Lake, and we went through Chicago, down to Oklahoma City, over to Wichita, and then back home from Wichita after the game Wednesday. So there's been a lot of traveling involved, but, you know, we accomplished what we wanted to do over in Wichita, and that was at least win one of the two games over there. So You know, I think it made the ride home, even though we lost Wednesday. I still think it made the ride home a lot better, knowing that we had you know, split over there.
You know, I think tonight is a huge game. And I know you've got three chances to win two. And if you don't get it done tonight, you still got two left. But I look at this and think, okay, Wichita's won two in a row against the Comets in the Coliseum. The Comets have to kind of establish something that, okay, in the playoffs, it's not going to happen. We're protecting our home ice. You're not going to come in here and get two from us. I'm pumped up. I think tonight's huge.
I think it's, like I told the players today, it's a pivotal game tonight. The team that wins tonight, you know, probably if you look at the statistics, probably goes on to win the series. But, you know, it's a huge game. We want to come out with a victory tonight and then have a chance to, you know, do more damage over the next two games. But, yeah, you're right. Tonight's game is huge for both teams.
How do you pick and choose the times when you do address the team? How often does it happen? I mean, are you a guy that gives a speech when you feel it's important? Are you a guy that's usually there to say something? How vocal are you with the guys?
Oh, quite a bit. I don't, you know, I'm not in there every game or anything like that talking to them. But, you know, this morning I just wanted to make sure that, you know, just because we're at home, nothing's guaranteed. It's a great deal to be able to have the last three games at home, but we got to take advantage of that opportunity. And I think the guys understand what they have to do. And but no, I'm every now and then, if I feel I need to talk to the team as a group, if I'm around, I'll talk to players individually about stuff. But the coaches, that's the voice that the players hear, and that's the voice they should hear. I just come in to try to make sure everybody's on target. A little different voice.
Well, one thing you did do when you assembled this team is you went with experience, and it's probably as old a group going into the playoffs as I think the Comets maybe have ever had. I guess that should show itself at this point. This is when those leaders, the ones who have been through playoff hockey before, they need to be the ones that kind of carry the load here, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, you look at the A.J. Jenks has been in a lot of playoffs with Toledo, went to the finals a couple years ago. Justin Vibe has been a champion in the past, and the young kids like McIver and Murphy and Bowden, they've all been on championship teams. So, you know, I think there's a level of confidence there, but still, you know, Wichita is a good club. They can do about everything, and we're going to have to play our best to beat them. They've got great goaltending. They play physical. They got guys that can put the puck in the net. So it should be exciting. It should be very exciting, and to the point where hopefully the fans will come out and really support us. And, you know, we want to use the fans, get the fans in the game early, and kind of make it difficult on Wichita from a fan standpoint with the noise and all that.
Talking to David Franke, general manager of the Fort Wayne Comets, I know goalies can be a little quirky sometimes, like starting pitchers in baseball. You get to game day, and, you know, some of them have personalities where they're very outgoing, even when they have a game that night. Some get very much into a zone, and they're hard to talk to. What type of a guy and goalie is Dylan Ferguson, and what do you expect from him?
Oh, I think, you know, Dylan's a confident kid. He goes about his business. He's a lot different this year than he was last year when he was with us. He's more mature. I think he's more professional. He's learned the ropes of it, of the pro game to a good degree. And, you know, he's a guy that has confidence. Don't really talk to him much on a game day. Said hello to him this morning. And, but, you know, the goalies, you just kind of leave them alone, you know, talk to them when you think they need to be talked to. But, you know, it's a, it's a lonely position being the goalie on a team and standing back there all night, making sure the puck doesn't go in the net. And it's a tough position, but I think Dylan, you know, he played very well in Wichita. I know he lost the second game. They had an empty netter to make it 5-2, but Dylan's played very well for us. He was a difference maker in the game Tuesday. So, you know, we have all the confidence in the world in him.
What about tickets for tonight? And also, now that we know there is definitely a game tomorrow night, what are the ticket situation? And are they, I know that they've expanded the allotment as far as the number of fans that can attend, but does that mean it's still a pod seating? What do fans have to know about coming to the game this weekend? And what are some of the protocols still in place?
Well, I think, you know, basically, you know, they don't have to wear a mask if they don't want to. The seating, from what I understand, is more of one row is full, the next row is empty, the next row is full. I think it'll be back to more of a normal seating than the pod system that had people scattered throughout the building. But, you know, I'm kind of waiting to see how it all looks, too, when I get over there. I've been on the road all week in Wichita, so but I believe it's in every other row situation as far as seating. There's plenty of tickets left, plenty of tickets for tonight, plenty of tickets for tomorrow, more than enough tickets available for fans. You know, take 2 or 3 hours, get out of the hot sun, and come and watch a hockey game tonight in the beautiful Memorial Coliseum on Sweetwater Ice.
Normally, it's not the time that the Comets are playing hockey, but tonight you need to make an exception and get out to the Coliseum, enjoy the air conditioning, enjoy Comet hockey, playoff hockey, and kind of disappointing to know that there's that many tickets that are still available. There's plenty of tickets available, but I hope that the fans that are hearing this will react, will come out, support the Comets tonight, knowing there's going to be room for them at the Coliseum, and it should be a great atmosphere. Really.
Oh, I think it'll be a great atmosphere. You're exactly right.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Best of luck this weekend, David, and I hope
Thank
we can
you,
talk
Brett.
Talk about the next series when we have you on next week sometime.
That'd be great. I'd love to.
Absolutely. David Franke, the general manager of the Fort Wayne Comets, joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Of course, you've got the Comets, you've got the Tin Caps, both at home tonight. Man, I thought that the Comets would do very well with their attendance. I mean, I think they've got a limit of about 5,000, which is about half capacity. I figured for playoff hockey on the weekend that the Comets would be very close to that number, but it sounded like from David Franke that there's still plenty of tickets. So if you're thinking about it still, you got plenty of time to decide because the game doesn't start till 8:05. But get out and support the Comets tonight out at the Memorial Coliseum. I'll be downtown. I'm joining Jack McMullen on the TV broadcast out at Parkview Field. So if you're out there for the Tin Caps game, give a wave upstairs to the TV guys. But we'll be up there, John Nolan, taking a break to go to a friend's wedding. And so I'll jump from the radio booth this weekend, where I spent the last 2 weekends, and move over to the TV side. And Mike Maz will be giving you all the action of Tin Caps baseball this weekend here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. A lot still on the way. The importance of this season and upcoming for both Kevin Pritchard and Chris Ballard. This could be very important for Chris Ballard as well. We'll talk about that. We've also got the best of the weekend. It all comes up before we wrap things up at 6 o'clock. You're listening to The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. And welcome back to The Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. What a beautiful, beautiful Friday to head into a great sports weekend. Of course, tonight, as we've been saying, it is a huge night for sports in the fort. And you've got to be out somewhere, whether you go to the Coliseum, whether you go to Parkview Field. You've got options, but it's time to support our local teams. We finally can get out and actually have an impact as a home crowd. And that's what Ben Boudreau was talking about earlier this week. And, of course, the Tin Caps, they could use the support. And who doesn't enjoy a summer night downtown at Parkview Field? So whether you go to the Comet game against Wichita, whether you go to the Tin Caps game against Lake County. Hopefully you can get out and enjoy some Fort Wayne sports tonight or some point this weekend. Of course, the Comets will be back home tomorrow night. We know that game is a for sure. We still think Monday is, well, I don't want to say likely, but if necessary for Monday. And then the Tin Caps will wrap up this two-week homestand on Sunday against the Lake County Captains. You know, we've been talking a lot about Kevin Pritchard and his responsibility in what happened with Nate Bjorkgren. Of course, for Kevin Pritchard, it was his first coaching hire. It was a big risk. He went out on a limb, went for a different type than Nate McMillan. McMillan, of course, a veteran coach who had many years of experience prior coming into Indianapolis, taking over the Indiana Pacers. And for Kevin Pritchard, he decided to go a different direction. He wanted to go to the more progressive side of the NBA and go to a guy who maybe would utilize analytics a bit more. It just turned out, though, to be a failure. The relationships that Bjorkgren had with players, other coaches, even people that were in the Pacers administration, it just was never good. And so Kevin Pritchard, in many ways, has this as a black mark on his record. Now he's got a chance maybe to get some salvation and hit the home run with his next hire. Chris Ballard is a guy that we've never second-guessed. Rarely do we second-guess any of the decisions Chris Ballard has made. But I think this is going to be also a very important year for Chris Ballard. I started to look at the Colts roster and started to think how this is truly Chris Ballard's team now. This is Ballard and Reich. They've assembled this team together. For Chris Ballard, he did it mostly on the defensive side through the draft. A lot of young players that he has selected. We always talk about what a great job Chris Ballard does in the draft. Well, you know, this is where you've got to start showing it with wins and losses. And when you look at the defensive side of the football, you've got 8 draft picks plus 2 significant free agents. Of course, DeForest Buckner is the most significant of those free agents. But you also have Xavier Rhodes, the corner, who decided to come back to Indianapolis after we thought he was going to leave. So, you know, you've got the 2 free agents, you've got the 8 draft picks. Most of this defense has been assembled by Chris Ballard, and the decisions have been made by Chris Ballard on who plays on the defensive side. So you got to say this is Ballard's defense. When you look at the offensive side, in fact, to be honest, you've even got a coach in Matt Eberflus that is totally a Chris Ballard guy. Remember, Eberflus got hired as the defensive coordinator before Frank Reich got hired. Frank Reich inherited Eberflus. He was a Ballard guy that was supposed to work with Josh McDaniels, and then McDaniels backed out, and Eberflus was still hired to take over the defense. And so this is entirely a Chris Ballard defense. Offensively, you got a combination of some draft picks. On offense, you've got 5 or 6 draft picks. It depends on who exactly gets on the field this year. And, of course, free agents with the quarterback, somebody that could make or break the entire season. I mean, it's a huge gamble to go out and take Carson Wentz. I think you're going to get a positive Carson Wentz just because mindset, psychologically, I think he's in a much better place being in Indianapolis and away from Philadelphia media. By the way, Philadelphia has a couple of sports stations, and man, they will get all over you if you even have one bad game. That's just the way the Philadelphia market is, and I think getting out of that market, Indianapolis is much more forgiving. I mean, that Indianapolis, because I think it's almost those Midwest roots, we don't want to, you know, say anything. It's like if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, and so it's very hard, I think, sometimes for Midwest sports talkers to actually jump all over somebody. Now, if it's the truth, it's the truth. But in this case, I think Carson Wentz just got a really raw deal. He was selected as kind of the easy target in Philadelphia, and a lot of what happened in Philadelphia wasn't his fault. So I expect him to do well. But there's a lot riding on that decision to go with Carson Wentz as the quarterback, not only of the present, but perhaps of the future for the Colts. You've got a left tackle that Chris Ballard went out and selected. They didn't do anything about the left tackle in the draft, so they had to go out and get a guy who's coming off an Achilles injury. Everybody expects that Eric Fisher is going to be 100%, whether it's at the start of the season or a few games in. But what if he's not? What if he can't come back from that injury? What if he's not the same Eric Fisher? That goes back and perhaps goes on Chris Ballard. And then you've got decisions as far as wide receiver that weren't made Everybody thought that the Colts were going to address the wide receiver need during the offseason. Almost nothing. I mean, if you want to take a low draft pick and say, oh, well, there they actually addressed their wide receiver needs, I don't think that really counts. So, you know, you have to count on some of the draft picks. Guys like Paris Campbell, can he get healthy? Because right now he's a total bust, and that goes on Chris Ballard. Paris Campbell is a bust, and he's a high draft pick. What was Campbell, second round? I think he was a second round pick, and, you know, we haven't even hardly seen him on the field. And, you know, Michael Pittman has to take that next step. I think we can all agree Jonathan Taylor is probably the real deal. You know, the idea that you didn't expand upon the wide receiving core and as a result really had no choice but to go and convince T.Y. Hilton to come back, and whether that's going to be a good decision or not is still a case to be seen. You know, T.Y. is getting older. Is he injury prone? He missed time last year. We'll see if that turns out to be a good decision. But I think for all of those factors and the fact that the Colts have a window now where they've built a team that they feel they can contend, whether they contend for a Super Bowl or just contend at the top of the AFC and contend with teams like Buffalo and Kansas City, I think it's an important year for Chris Ballard, because this is truly his team now, hand-picked, hand-selected. Most of the players have been drafted. And there's going to be some tough decisions that have to be made the next couple of years, because so many of these guys are going to go off their rookie contracts and get their extensions, get their money. You've got the salary cap you have to deal with, and I don't know if everybody's going to stay. So, you know, when you look at what this next year is for Kevin Pritchard and the importance that's going to be on the next season with a lineup that Kevin Pritchard has basically assembled, because, you know, the time that Kevin Pritchard's been in Indiana, these are the guys he picked. These are the guys he assembled. These are the guys he wanted on the roster. He just made a terrible decision on who the head coach of that group should be. And in hindsight, did he make the right move to even fire Nate McMillan to begin with? I think most Pacers fans were fine with the firing of Nate McMillan, but they're also equally as upset and maybe even more upset with what happened under Nate Bjorkgren. So this is a huge decision or a huge season coming up for Kevin Pritchard, because he's kind of got to erase that black mark and move forward with his Pacers team. But I think also we have to consider this to be an important period for Chris Ballard. He gets an awful lot of credit that maybe hasn't been earned yet. We think these are all good draft picks. We think that, you know, he stole a few guys. And maybe he's got a couple that he has. Darius Leonard is kind of the poster child for the Chris Ballard drafting era. Maybe Quentin Nelson a little bit, but I don't think that was a risky pick. It really came down to, did you want an offensive lineman or did you want a defensive player? And, you know, and so I don't think that was a risky pick. Darius Leonard was finding a diamond in the rough, but you can't have an entire career as a general manager and an entire public persona based on having one home run hit in the draft. And I don't know that there are that many others, because there's still guys that you've got question marks about. Rocky Asin, still a question mark. Everybody thinks he'll have a better year this year, but he better have, or else he's going to become the next Quincy Wilson and be a corner that the Colts gave every opportunity to and just never got away from some of the bad habits and never developed into the player that maybe he has the talent to be. So bottom line, is this an important year? Does the Colts season reflect on Chris Ballard? Do we still have questions about Chris Ballard? I know you ask most Colts fans, they'll say, he's a great general manager. He's an A, there's no question. And I'm like, what are you basing that on? What do you really base the success of Chris Ballard? The fact that he was able to overcome Andrew Luck retiring in the middle of preseason? I mean, yeah, he hit on Darius Leonard, but he also whiffed on Malik Hooker. So, you know, let's kind of call it like it is. I think that there are still things to be proven, and I think this year is going to be an important year for Chris Ballard to get those things actually done.
I think with Ballard, there's an opportunity here, but I think also the wide receiver core, I mean, they have to get it right this year, right? I mean, this is the chance for them to get it right. And Paris Campbell, this is make or break. For Pittman, it's his opportunity to be the guy And with T.Y. Hilton, it's, you know, can he give you decent enough production to justify bringing him back?
Well, for T.Y. Hilton, I'd say, can he stay on the field? Can he stay healthy? You know, guys at his age that have been in the league for as long as he has, and we started to see it last year, the question is he going to be a reliable wide receiver that stays on the field? You've got a 17-game schedule. I mean, that's a long grind to try to get through. And T.Y. Hilton, you know, many people thought, he's kind of a borderline guy. You kind of like to have him back to be in the locker room because he's always been a good teammate. He's always been a good Colt. And in many ways, that's what brought him back. He liked being a Colt, and that's why he decided to play for Indianapolis, despite the fact he could have gotten more money at Baltimore. But I just kind of feel like, okay, a lot of these personnel decisions, or at least the personnel that's going to be on the field this year, directly related to Ballard decisions, and they've either got to put up or shut up. And in some ways, maybe we've prejudged Ballard before we've actually seen the end result. And this season, to me, is going to be a better gauge of Chris Ballard as a general manager. Because when you draft guys, it's not what they do necessarily as a rookie. It's what they do in years 3, 4, and 5 when it's time to keep them on the team. And can you re-sign them? Can you build a nucleus of football players around them? And I think that's where the Colts are at. And so I think that's important for Chris Ballard as well. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Questions, comments, suggestions, always let us know what's on your mind at 46862. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, we've got Talking Sports, Jim Shevlin. He will be talking sports. Of course, he will have Mike Nutter, Mike Franke, and maybe some other surprises along the way. That is from 9 to 10 tomorrow morning. And Caleb, what else do we have on Saturday mornings now? I think we've got a new show we could talk about.
Yeah, for a couple of weeks, new track record, the podcast that Justin Kinney and myself that we do every week. We're airing an abbreviated radio-only version that runs Saturdays from 8 to 9 a.m. So that's before Jim's show, and that runs every Saturday. So,
okay, that's a radio-only, but is it going to feature anything from the podcast? Because you snared a big interview this week.
Yeah, so it's featuring stuff directly from the podcast. We cut out kind of some of the extra stuff that's on the episode and just focus kind of on the main points. And so this week, we talked with Mike Shank, the team owner of Meyer Shank Racing, and we had him on before during kind of the beginning of the pandemic last year in either March or April. He's a great interview. He's pretty carefree, but he's also a straight shooter. And, you know, it was really fun chatting with him. And
Caleb, for those that aren't as much into IndyCar, when you mention that he's a team owner,
yes,
he also happens to be the team owner of Elio Castroneves.
Correct. Yes. The winning team owner of the Indianapolis 500 a couple weeks ago. So if you've seen the picture of him, of a guy standing on like the pit wall as Elio stopped his car at the start finish line, he's that guy who's, standing on the pit wall.
Did he climb the fence with Elio?
I believe he did.
I thought he might have actually made the climb, something we never saw from the previous team owner.
No.
No. And so what time again? Saturday morning?
8 o'clock.
And of course, if you want to check out the podcast, it's available wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. It's called New Track Record. And if you need quick access, just go to 1380thefan.com. Coming back to wrap it up next, this is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back, final time, to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6, just about to, ready to head downtown, doing the TV side tonight with Jack McMullen. John Nolan had a wedding to attend this weekend, so believe it or not, I'm going to be on TV. The face for radio is going to be doing the TV coverage, but you know one thing that makes me feel very comfortable is that they do not put the broadcasters on TV anymore, so we don't have to do any kind of stand-up or any kind of mug shots. So you can tune in. You'll be fine. Your TV won't break if you have it on. But Comcast Channel 81 tonight for TinCast Baseball, but also on the radio, Mike Maz then will be working solo. He'll have the broadcast starting with the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show, 6:45, right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Best bets of the weekend, of course, Comets tonight. Must win. I really feel like tonight decides the series. I will say that if Wichita comes in, steals the first of three here in Fort Wayne, I think that gives the Thunder tremendous confidence that they can steal another. And I think that's why tonight is so important. I think the Comets need to set a tone that you're not going to win anything in our building. Come out, dominate tonight, get the victory, put Wichita's backs against the wall, knowing they have to find a way to win at a tough place to play with two games left. So I think tonight ultimately decides a series. And but also over the weekend, you've got coming up tonight, NBA basketball. Hawks are hosting the Sixers. I still think the Sixers are going to roll through this series. And then the Suns go to Denver with a 2-0 lead. Can Denver find a way to win at home? I still think Denver is suffering right now from the loss of Jamal Murray. I think this is a really close game, much like we saw with Milwaukee and Brooklyn. I think the Nuggets take this game, but I think the Suns bounce back and take game four. I'll just say that. We'll see how we do on the weekend on Monday. We're going to take off. We're going to have a great sports weekend. You do the same. Join us Monday, 4 to 6. We'll have your daily local sports fix. That wraps it up. Big thanks to our guests that appeared on the show. Have a great sports weekend. This has been the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.